Yeah, I love it. The Lord is doing something. Sometimes I feel like we're like maybe 2 inches from a new breakthrough. Like, you know what I mean? Tim knows what I mean. Tim and I, we're going into revival, and you can join us. You can join us. You're welcome. You know, that's it's so good that we can just abandon our own self and junk and preferences, and just let him be the center of it all, you know? Yeah. Hey, I wanted to quickly give you guys an update. So Longhorn called, Longhorn, yeah, the steakhouse, right? And they called some of the churches locally and said, hey, we have food that we'd like to give away every week, you know, at the end of the week, because you know, we just have a surplus. We'd like to find a way to get that into the hands of families that would need that. So there are several of the churches. I want to say seven right now. Four. Leave it to a preacher to just double everything, right? There are four churches currently that are in the rotation to receive the food and then distribute it out to families in need. And so River's turn came, and it was headed up by Nicole Litton. So I know she's online. So thank you, Nicole. We love you. Appreciate you doing that. And then Carver and Michaela. Where's Carver and Michaela? Are they hiding? Ah, there's Carver. Carver! And they did the prep and then the delivery to the homes. And I know it's starting off small. It's our first one that we've done. But we were able to bless seven households, six of those being single moms and kids. So I just happy to see small beginnings. And Carver, were there any special things you'd like to report? Like, no? Okay. All right, cool. Well, if ever that happens, let us know. But, you know, that's just another opportunity for the church to get out of ourselves and be in their world and to bless people, right? Yeah. I mean, really, that's what it's about. It's not this, although this is great. This happens so that we can do that, you know? So, amen. And then I also want to recognize Jean Roach. She is one of the pastors over at our gathering place in Milford. Just a great little church that meets in their home. And I love them so much. And she also came alongside us and helped with the preparation. And so just so cool to see the cooperation. They meet on Sunday night. So if you ever want to go, it's no competition. You just go. they're cool. They're cool people. It'll blow you away when you go. You're wondering what that means, right? Yes. Huh? They are off the chain. They are like... They're like Book of Acts happening right there in the living room. And if you're kind of stuck up and stiff, you're going to be like, your eyes are going to open up and see, oh my gosh, like the whole agenda is there is no agenda. They literally don't know when they start playing song number one, what song number one's going to be. And from that moment on, the whole service just goes like that. It's really cool. Love it. It's really cool. Okay. Did you guys bring notebooks or maybe a phone that you can take notes on? Cool. I feel like for the next 2-3 minutes, we're just supposed to dial down for a second and just listen to the Holy Spirit. And so write down whatever he says to you. Like we said, you know, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So you're going to hear from heaven, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to tell you how much he loves you. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but whatever he says is going to be good. I am bringing up my alarm because... That way you know that I've got a method here. But go ahead, get started. Let's write for like 2 minutes. And then remember, if it's worth sharing for the whole body, then we'll allow everyone to have that time. Thank you, Spirit of God, for speaking. Our hearts are open. Oh, there he goes. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, did he stop? Did he respect the alarm? Sometimes he doesn't always respect the alarm. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to your people. Thank you for loving us and communicating, that you're a good communicator, and that you like to be heard, you like to be understood, you like to be explored. Yeah. God, just open our heart to hear from you now as if in this moment of sharing, and Yeah, I sense that you're going to prune and correct and encourage and love and build and tear down all that is appropriate for transformation, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I'll get the mic, but did anybody feel something, again, for everyone? It's not just the stuff that he spoke to you personally, but if it'll bless the community here, did anybody sense something and that it's worth sharing? Two of you? Okay, cool.
So some of you have heard this story already, but I wanted to share it last week, and it just didn't quite happen. You remember we were talking about that. So when the first thing I heard was share that story. So a couple of weeks ago, I was doing a long hike. A lot of you know it was a 50-mile hike, and I was about halfway done with it, and I was really struggling. My pack was heavy. And I'd got my camp set up for the night, and I was praying, and I was saying, Lord, give me your strength, give me your encouragement, you know, so that I can finish this. And what I heard back from him was, why? And I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about what my motivation was for asking for his strength. And I realized that it wasn't for his glory, it was for mine. It was because I didn't want to be seen as having started this challenging thing and failed. And my mind wasn't in the right place. So the next morning, I packed up my camp, I went home, or I went to the trailhead where I met my wife, and we went home, and I was done. And it's not a story I'm proud of, but knowing the why. You know, where is your heart? Is your heart in the right place? And that day, mine was not.
That's awesome. And we don't think any less of you. Thanks, man.
My guidance when I heard God was more related to weather imagery. So that's a little different. But what I felt and heard was like today is like a kind of a gray, rainy, gloomy day. And God said, you know, but if you can't feel me, like I'm the sun that's always in back of whatever is happening around you, whether the clouds are going by or it's one of those fronts that just sits there and nothing's moving. And so he said, if you can't sense me, you know, from here, then, you know, do something like pray or worship or whatever, because that's kind of like an airplane. You know, when an airplane goes up, up, up to 33,000 feet, and then all of a sudden, it's just shining, you know, and beautiful. So it was like, then come on up to where I am if you can't sense me from where you are. And you might need to take a short flight, or you might need to stay a while and take a long flight until things settle, and then you can go back down and bring me with you down to whatever's going on around you. So
that's good.
Weather imagery.
No, that's good, and it's appropriate. It yeah. We're coming up, right? Oh, thank you.
So all morning, mine has been, you know, that stop and smell the roses saying. Slow down was the word. Take the time. This referred to my driving. It referred to my everything that I did today. He just said, slow down in your work, in your family, in your relationships, because I'm in those moments. You're going too fast, and I'm in everything around you. Slow down, because if you slow down and you look for me, you can be a part of what I'm doing in every single instance. Look for those people that you can touch. Look for that thing. And if you're going too fast, this was for me, but I hope it blesses somebody else. If you're going too fast, you're going to miss me. So slow down. Actively look for me, like I'm actively looking for you. We talked last week. He's searching for those people that are actively looking for him. If you're actively looking for that thing in that moment, he's going to find you there. He's going to use you there. So.
Amen. Yeah, nice. Thank you.
So when Daryl asked after praise and worship if anyone had anything to share, I was going to go up and then didn't. And I think the Lord impressed me to share this, so I am going to share it. My wife, Kathy, was in a car accident a week ago Friday. And it was one of these situations where she basically lost control of the car. She couldn't control the car and, you know, hit a bunch of things. And she said that all she could do throughout the whole thing is cry out to the Lord. And she just, you know, kept asking the Lord for help. And the Lord delivered. The Lord, she ended up with a very minor back injury, one that's, that can be taken care of. But she, this could have been a lot worse. And we just know that God heard her prayer and delivered her during that time.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, thank you, God. She's my favorite mother-in-law.
My favorite wife.
Your favorite wife? Yeah, I understand. Anybody else?
Kind of, if you want to fill in the gaps, maybe.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so what I was kind of getting was when you said regrets earlier.
Regrets, yeah.
So I usually always deal with regrets. And so I think that I'm at the point where I was talking to someone the other night. It just happened to come up in conversation about regrets and godly sorrow. And just to follow the Lord and Father wherever he's taking you. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to help fill in that gap a little bit, but it has
sure.
just something to do with, you know, your regret or a godly sorrow. I know yeah. brings you to repentance, but there's probably even more to that. And then just move on and just follow wherever God wants to take you, because that's what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Is just to move on and yeah. follow.
Amen. No, and the thing you said is exactly right, that godly sorrow that leads to repentance, that repentance is basically just a decision to turn and go back to him. So it's not a magical, like, emotional ride. It's actually just the excitement of saying, it's better when I'm with him, not on my own, and I'm turning. So godly sorrow actually leads to the happy ending. It's in its own way. It's uplifting and it's exciting, and it's like I'm looking forward to going back home to be with my dad, right? Where regret is just choosing to drown in the sorrow, the depression, to kick yourself. And where does that lead you? No, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. You had one, Monique? Okay.
Well, it's kind of to stem off of what some of you are saying, but in terms of that sorrow, that depression, I feel like God wants to remind you that it's a moment in time. It's just a moment. And I remember years ago sharing with somebody a struggle I was going through, and they looked at me and they just simply said, well, give it a minute. So give it a minute.
Yeah. Awesome. Did I see a hand over here, or just itching? Sorry. Anybody on this side? Going once, going twice. You guys really want me to preach, I could tell. You just, were you just itching? Better be careful, don't itch too fast. I'll put a mic in your face. Oh man. I heard him say, I'm pouring out a fresh wave of confidence on my people, that it's not about you, it's about my spirit in you. And you'll, if you will ask, I will meet you on that assignment. And I will heal you as you invest in the lost and the hurting. So, some of you, you're like, but wait about, but. And he's like, I will heal the butt. Yeah? Not heal your butt. What's that? Unless you need that. In which case, the elders will not be laying hands. Okay, yeah, I know. I always take it. I always take it to the wrong extreme. I'm sorry. No. Okay. So that's really cool. I am proud of everybody who listened, who shared, who was brave enough to do that. Thank you. And I think like we got a complete picture of what he's saying. Do you agree? More than what one person by themselves could paint of the Spirit. So I want to encourage you, man, I just keep going with this. And again, our prayer is that even when the series, the pursuit of his voice is not what we're talking about every week, that that's still a piece of life. Right? And really want to see you feel comfortable knowing not only that you can share in here, because this is a safe place. So like, this is the easiest place. This is as easy as it gets to hear his voice and then communicate. And people will love you even if you don't have the full expression of what you're trying to say. Like Ricky had today, pieces, right? But man, the next step, the ultimate goal is to walk out the doors and to do it out there. To do it on the phone, to do it at the store, in the job, with customers, right? That's the spot. That's where it gets real. Oh yeah, yeah. All right, cool. You guys ready? Yeah. Okay. What do you want to talk about? All right. We've been talking about how over the last couple weeks, but especially last two, that God is faithful and that he is a reward for those who diligently seek him, right? We talked about how we were meant to sing praise in response to his rescues in our life, that those things add up, like all the rescues that he's ever done in your life, whether they're small or great, are supposed to add up and become a part of your worship experience, that it's not just for you. It's not like so you have this, you know, this recording that you play back to yourself. It's about the world hearing that recording, if you will, and knowing there's a history that's built up, right? We even saw in Psalms that a generation yet unborn will hear of your praises, right? And how God is thinking, like, as he comes in and he swoops in and he rescues and he saves. Like, it's so much, like, yes, if it was only you on this planet, yes, he would do that just for you. But it's not just for you. Like, it's for so many people. And then maybe even generations yet unborn. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's their children. Maybe it's, right? Somebody that the Lord is such a broad thinker. Right? That even when he's a specific thinker, I'm coming in to save you, it's a broad thinking method. I'm coming in to save you because I'm coming in to also affect all these others who are watching, right? And that story can be anything from just your attitude as it was all going down to his deliverance as it was happening, right? And people can just glean and receive from that whole story, right? Yeah. I think one of the things we challenged, and it's so worth saying, when you're telling that story, when you're recalling it back to people, don't change it. And here's what I mean. So, you know, let's say you are in a panic, right? And you're like, God, I have to know. You're like, are you going to come and save me? And he says, yes, I'm going to come save you. And then he does. And then you go tell the story, and you're like, so, I just knew he was coming. I just knew my faith was there, and I just pressed in, and I stood on this. Like, don't change it. Like, if you were weak and scared, and right, just say it like that, because people don't need to hear how amazing you were. They need to hear how he came through, right? So don't change the story. And you're like, but I don't like that. I'm like not the hero of the story. Great. That's not the point, right? Don't be the hero of your story. Let him be the hero. And yeah, I mean, I was even telling the story like yesterday. I said, I don't even think that when I was praying for a certain solution that I understood the full impact of what God was able to do in a moment. And I prayed it and it happened. And I was almost like kind of embarrassed because I didn't expect it like that, right? And I think there's so much goodness in just being honest like that. Right? It just points to the greatness of God, and it points to the fact that it's not all about you and you leveraging your faith and not forcing God to do something because you put his arm behind his back with your faith and made him do it, right? You muscled him into action, right? I mean, really, who loves that story? It's all about, like, no one else will be able to do that. They can't replicate that amazingness, right? No one will ever stand up to your stature. Right? Okay, you guys, are you with me? All right, or you're probably on vacation already, aren't you? The Lord has given us grace. It's raining and it's cold, and so your brain better not be in the swimming pool. Because you're going to be disappointed when you get home. Amen? All right. But it's just a moment, right, Monique? Okay. I got so much stuff, and it's all junk. Let's just look at Acts 27. Acts 27. Remember, Paul was on the ship, right? He had been arrested. The Lord told him that he would be arrested. The Lord told him that he was going to have, you know, suffering would lay ahead. And then he sent an angel while they're on the ship to tell him that don't get on the ship. You know, it's going to go bad for you. So they got on the ship. But then the angel shows up again and tells him, you know, no one's going to die as long as they stick with you. And I'm in it. And you will stand before the Roman emperor. Remember that? Okay, good. Then if we could we bring up the Acts 27:33? Is that 23 or 33? I don't know. Okay, so let's look at this one, 33. Just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat because they had been in 2 weeks of a gigantic storm. They threw everything pretty much they could overboard. Anything heavy, they chucked it. And they were miserable, so miserable for 2 weeks. So they were so depressed about the loss of their life that they couldn't eat, like literally could not eat for 2 weeks, okay? As the waves are up and down, and Paul urged everyone to eat. He said, you've been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. So verse 34, please eat something now for your own good. Remember, he's been telling them there's gonna be a shipwreck, right? You need to eat. You're gonna need your strength, right? The Lord is actually reaching out to people in panic and telling them, be ready. I'm gonna help you, but be ready. You're gonna need your strength, right? Not a hair on your heads will perish. Then he took some bread. He gave thanks to God before them all. He broke off a piece and he ate it. Like he had to demonstrate peace. He couldn't just talk about peace. Right? And I think that's kind of where we're going to go for this short time here is that it's possible to actually train to have the perfect argument to present to people. Right? And the Lord's not necessarily in the argument. The perfect case, the perfect layout of your scripture, the perfect presentation, the knowing what to say, taking classes, buying the DVDs, knowing exactly, right, how to lay out your presentation of the gospel so that, right, I mean, all that stuff is like in the middle of a storm like this in people's lives, it means so much more for you to just tell them, you know, you're going to be fine, let's eat. Like, you know what I mean? So he breaks off the piece of bread and he eats it. And then verse number 36 says, everyone was encouraged and began to eat, all 276 of us who were on board. Like one guy takes a piece of bread and eats it and suddenly 276 people are unbound from fear and are able to join him at least to the level where they could eat something. You know what I mean? Good stuff. Does that make you hungry?
Yes.
You want a piece? So God's voice, now God never spoke in this moment. God spoke through Paul and through his action, right? But God is speaking to people. And God's voice brings hope and purpose and meaning and destiny to anyone who's open to hear. And so you understand when the Bible says we're vessels of honor, we're actually carrying hope. And destiny and purpose. And that's exactly what he's saying, right? The ship's gonna go down, but you're gonna be spared. Why? Because God is still not done with you. He loves you. He wants to show himself to you. Like all these words are being kind of spoken right now, but they were demonstrated in, hey, let's eat. You haven't eaten for 2 weeks and God's with you. I believe him. Do you believe him? Let's eat. Like that easy, right? The man with the experience of peace was not inferior to the man, if you will, who had the perfect argument. Right? And now all the people who aren't really familiar with their Bible said, amen. Because, I mean, how many of us, I feel this way at times, how many of us feel like I don't think I know my scripture well enough to just pull it out on somebody in a very specific moment and be like, you know, the Lord says, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, wow, I'm so glad you study your Bible. Thank you. That changed everything. Right? that it's okay to be like, he said this, and I believe him, and I trust him, and I'm at peace with that. And so therefore, I'm going to do this in response to the peace, right? Follow the peace. Follow the peace. You want to know God's voice, and you hear several voices, and you, which one's me? Which one's the devil? Which one's God? Blah, blah, blah. I'm so confused. The one that has peace on it is God. God is not the author of confusion, so that, blah, 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 that's not God, right? That's the enemy trying to drown out your ability to hear and respond to the voice of God. So the voice of God is the one that drops his peace. Now, the voice that is peace is not always the voice, it's not always the agenda you would choose. So peace is not the same thing as fulfillment, right? And sometimes we're like, I'm going to go with the voice that actually serves me best. And he's like, no, that's not peace. That's selfishness, right? And now God will oftentimes, he'll bring you into a place of deliverance or healing or hope. So the outcome you're going to love, but not always is it the outcome you choose. Just like Paul, hey, we're going to shipwreck. Okay, let's eat, right? I don't want to shipwreck. I don't know. Sorry. He's with you. You're going to be alive. You're going to be fine. We're going to get through this, right? So God's peace rested on shipwreck. Right? Let's paint it out, okay? Sailors trying to figure out what is God saying. I'm so confused. I'm so sick. I haven't eaten in a long time. I just want to throw up, right? And they're like, I'm hearing all these voices. Which one do I listen to? So one voice says, you're dead. One voice is now saying, you're going to be shipwrecked. Another voice is saying, just keep throwing stuff overboard. Keep praying to your God. You're going to make it, and the ship's going to be fine, and you're going to be prosperous if you just keep sticking to what you know to do and just keep doing it. Which voice do I listen to? Well, I like this one. I like the one that says, just keep doing what you're doing because you are going to make it, and everything is going to be comfy and great, right? But the voice in the middle was the one that had the peace on it, and that was proven by the fact that 276 guys were able to eat with somewhat bad news, but there was hope in the news. Do you like it? Okay, if you don't, I don't care. But I like to ask. So then that leads to this other thought that if we're the ones who are deciphering the peace of God and we're actually, you know, that, there's no pressure here, but we're actually telling the world where the peace of God is and where they're to go, right? And this can be another believer, and this can be someone who's lost. It could be your children, right? It God's always speaking, and he wants to use you. So then the question is, will you be in the story? Will you be Paul, or will you be one of the 276? And you get to choose, okay? That's what I'm asking. It's not rhetorical. It's very specific. Right? Will you listen for the voice of God and pass it on, or will you be the one who's like, looks like everybody else and just waiting for someone else more talented or whatever that word is to do it for you, right? EGATS. My job as a pastor, one of the fivefold ministry, right, is to equip you to do the work of ministry. So my vote is that you guys are the Paul, not the 276, right? Which is why I want you to have times to write and to listen and to share, because again, build the muscle, build your ear muscles, build your communication muscles, right? Learn peace, learn it. For those of you who did write something down or who felt like the Lord spoke to you, did you sense, you know, share of hands, peace on the thing that you heard or felt? Now, you may have been a little nervous about sharing, right? Because none of us love public speaking. But did you feel peace even in that? Yeah. Good. So memorize that piece and listen to that some more. Right? Pretty easy. Psalm 23, I bet you guys know this. I bet you heard this when someone died. But that's not the time to plug it in. It's time to plug it in before you die, okay? All right. Even when I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, valley of the shadow of death, right? I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Why is he not afraid? Because he's close. There was no moment where he's like, because you're going to solve my problem. It wasn't about the problem. It's about closeness, right? And that's why he's not afraid. Fear comes when we think we're going to lose something, right? Freedom comes when we're close to the source of our joy, and he is the source of our joy, right? And this is just important. Just lock onto that. Like, the agenda doesn't really matter all the time. Your rod, your staff, protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. This is just like what Paul was experiencing, right? He's just eating in the middle of the storm. The ship goes up, the ship goes down. I don't think I can. Oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, right? Gobble, gobble. It's the peace of God that the in the presence of my enemies, you still. And then you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. For those of you who know the story of David and the whole anointing his head for kingship, that kind of lends itself to this idea of leadership or influence. And every one of us have a leadership and an influential role on community. Yeah? You definitely have that over your home. And then whether you choose to take it or not, you have it in community. And so, even in the darkest times, as we're being blessed by the Lord in this feast in the presence of his enemies, we are honored with a leadership and an influential role in community. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is, even if you're feeling broken and worried and you're like at the bottom of your day, you still have that place of influence, because once again, it's not about you. It's about who he is in you. And your broken story actually qualifies you more than your success story. Amen. Right? Your success story will sell tapes or CDs or books, but your broken story changes lives. Yeah. Right? Your broken story changes lives. The other thing he said is, my cup overflows with blessings, and that also shares itself to that idea that my cup is so big and this is all I can drink, and he's going to keep pouring. Why is he going to keep pouring? Is he wasteful? No, he's extravagant. He's not wasteful. What is that for? What's it, what is the pressed down, shaken together, running over? It's for everybody else, right? So even in the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear, because you're with me. I'm close to you. You've given me a leadership influential role in community, and you are going to bless me in such a way that even in that dark place, my blessing will overflow and bless others. Yes. Right? That is the heart of the prosperity message. It's not for you. Right? All right. Amen. It's not for you. It's the question that he asked Dave on his testimony. Why? Bless me, God. Bless my life. Bless me. Why? Because I want to be blessed. Great. Why? And you're familiar with the seven levels of why? So you answer him, he'll say why. You answer him, he'll say why. You go seven levels deep, and it's like, because I'm insecure and I want to be successful because I want people to love me. Ah, that's really what I wanted to get to, the Lord's saying, right? And so I'm not, again, I believe that prosperity and blessing happens because it's on the screen and it's scripture, and if I was to tell you it's not true, I'd be a liar. But I also believe that we have to get to the core of our gunk, because the Lord doesn't want to pour that stuff on us and just cement in our broken need. He wants to heal that, and right? And so next time we're saying, I want to be blessed. Why? Because it's really not about me. I want to make a greater impact. Why? Because I just value what you value, Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're everything. My life is nothing. It's not satisfying, right? Why? Because I love you, right? And he's like, okay, great, right? And it may not look like what you want it to look like. It might be something else. It might be the shipwreck instead of the safe harbor. Okay. If you really love him, and if it's cool with you that he has his way, then that's great, because that's where he is. He's in the shipwreck in that moment. He's not in the safe harbor, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yes?
So I'm just sitting here, and God just blows my mind, right? And I know we often talk about, like, he always confirms through his word.
Yeah.
But as we were sitting in the silence and listening to his voice earlier, he showed me a vision of a wheat field. And what he said to me is, come as you are. And I just think that what you're sharing right now is confirming that vision in me, but that's more than just for me, it's for the congregation. Because in a wheat field, there's weeds. But if we pull out the weeds, we pull out the harvest too. We pull out the goodness, right? We pull out the blessing. So even though I'm not perfect, even though no one in this room is perfect, we need to come with our weeds and still be ready for the blessing that lies in the harvest of the wheat.
And I'm wondering if the word he gave me, prepare for revival, is what you were just talking about as well, with the field of wheat and stuff like that. So that's what he spoke with me about, prepare for the revival.
Yes, I agree, prepare for revival. Revival is when a dead church comes alive. And the proof of a dead church coming alive is that it actually reaches out into its community and leads the lost to Christ, right? That's one of the signs. Yay. So some of you is like, well, how do I prepare for revival? How? What do I buy? Go to Amazon, revival, attire, revival, seats, cushions. No, it's not about that stuff, right? It's how do you prepare? Well, ask yourself the seven levels of why. With the Lord. I want revival, God. Why? Right? And just see if it has something to do with you've been lazy, disconnected, and you want him to just like zip you up. You want the rush. You want the feeling. You've never seen it before. You think it'd be cool, right? Just fill in the blank. There's like all these little selfish things that we cry out for, right? We have to reconnect with his heart. Just do it. Do the exercise and let the peace of God, not condemnation, walk you through that process, okay? Because some of you guys, some of us, are hard on ourselves. And when you ask the seven levels of why, okay, and this is not psychology, this is just bearing your soul before the Lord, you will get to this point where you'll just totally self-condemn yourself and eliminate yourself and fall back into regret and kick yourself, right? Don't do that. That's not the purpose. The purpose is freedom. Hallelujah. Okay, are you still here? Good. All right, just checking. I got a lot of stuff, and like I said, it's mostly junk. all right, let's do this one. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8. Karen likes this one, so I put it up here for her. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They're like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Almost sounds like Psalms 1, doesn't it? Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Right? And so, you know, while the territory, the environment might be in a season of drought, the tree is still planted in the river. And so you could either say, you could look at the fact that there's drought all around. Well, I can't wait to start producing some more fruit once this drought is over. Or it's seeing what you have. I have a river of life. Oh, a river of life. but I have a river of life and it's flowing out of me, right? And so it's recognizing and coming into alignment with the will of God for you in that broken drought season, okay? And so some of you, you're like praying for the drought to end and he's just praying back, hey, will you just put your roots deeper in me? Because in this story, the story that the Lord wants to tell in this case, it's really, really cool when the world sees in a time of drought this tree producing fruit. And who's the fruit for? It's not for the tree. The tree doesn't make, oh, I made an apple. Right? That would be ridiculous. The fruit is for everybody but you, honestly. Right? And it's for making little babies. It produces more. It's Right? Okay, some of you just went into revival. Amazing. I want to throw Revelations 22, it's at the bottom of the screen, into the mix because it just relates so well with the Jeremiah 17 scripture. In heaven, okay, when in the new heaven, this is after all the chaos of Revelations has occurred, there is a river and it flows from Ezekiel. We know that it flows out of the throne room of God, right? And it passes through this, it's called the Glass Sea in the Bible. And it looks solid, but it looks like it moves at the same time. Can't explain it. And the river passes through it, like out of God's throne, through this hard surface, and it's lit and it moves, and then it comes out the door, and it's almost like a trickle it talks about in Ezekiel, and it kind of bends over to the east, and then it gets deeper and deeper, and as you go out, it's like up to your ankles, and then as you go out further, it's up to the knees, and then at some point, it's like it overtakes higher than a person could stand it, okay? What's the point of you telling me that? Well, because it's all about him. It's all coming from him. It doesn't matter whether it's a trickle or if it's deep. It's still his river. It's still his flow. He's still the one controlling it, right? We just get to choose to walk with it and flow with it or not, okay? And what's important about it is that it flows down the center of the main street, and on each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. Who are the trees in Jeremiah 17? What has two thumbs and is the tree in Jeremiah 17? This guy. You, right? And so you're planted beside this river, and yeah, Revelations is like the end time like picture of what that's going to look like, but today we are the symbol of that perfect time, right? Whether you feel like you're the symbol of perfection or not, you are called to this to be a part of the equation, right? And so you're part of this solution to just plug in, let your roots go down deep into the river of God. It's just the what comes from the throne of grace? Grace. Right? Right? Let every person come in to the throne and receive grace in their time of need, right? So for us trees here, just having a talk, if you would. Grace, it's flowing from his throne and we're plugging in, and grace is not forgiveness. Grace is so much more than forgiveness. Grace is the ability to do what you've never been able to do in your own strength, which includes freedom and miracles and, right, and leading your family well and being a good example to the world and being Christ-like, all that stuff. I mean, that is like, that's grace, and it's aggressive and it, right? And so we plug into that. We say, that's the only thing I'm going to suck nourishment from. Nothing else around me. That's all I want, right? And that's where we begin to produce fruit. And in this case, 12 times a month, 12 times a year, once a month, I've never had a tree do that. Have you? That's pretty cool. Which talks about stability and consistency. Should the people of God be stable and consistent? Yes, so the weather may change, but the people of God remain stable and consistent, right? Because it's not about us and what we can produce. It's about all we have to do is plug into the grace thing, the river of God as it flows, and then he produces the fruit, right? We're not like, popped out another apple, right? It just happens, right? It's a part of who we are, and we were designed that way. And so, again, whether we're broken, whether we're lost, whether we're like, you know, in our confusion, I mean to say, not in our salvation, he's like, it doesn't matter. Just plug into my grace, and it's okay. You will produce fruit in that season. But it's December, God. Nothing produces in December. Just be that much more amazing. Right? Yes? Oh, you got share again? Let me get a mic. Here, catch. The last time I did that. All
right. So I thought this was just for me, which is why I didn't share it. But a couple of months ago, I was actually away with you, and I was shown this picture. I wish I could blow it up and put it up on the screen. But I heard the Lord say, during that time, Psalms 23, he leads me by still waters. And I promise I didn't know Daryl's sermon before he preached it or the scriptures he was going to pull out. And then now speaking in Jeremiah 17, 7, 8. So literally the image that I have here is a riverbank with a massive tree with these deep roots that are going into the riverbank. And it's this massive, strong tree. So just confirming, this is like direct from the Holy Spirit. So it's pretty awesome.
I forgot about that. All right. Is this thing on? No, it's okay. I didn't know if I did something. I think we're really, really close to being done. Did you guys feel like the Lord has spoken something to your heart? Okay. Then I will use a closing. What's that?
What are the leaves?
What are the leaves? Oh, the leaves are the healing of the nations. No. The leaves are... Paint you a picture. Okay, so the leaves are obviously they're giving off oxygen to the world, right? Yeah. And he is the breath of life. And so we're conduits for life, blessing, right? The leaves are shade. So when it's pouring out and the weather's rough or whether the sun is too bright and it's hot, people go underneath the tree and they find shelter and they rest. Rest. Do you hear that? That prevailing rest for your souls kind of thing. So now people are looking for, I just want to be close to that person because their leaves are full. And when the weather is horrible, there's where I can find my healing, my peace, my restoration, right? Then also, Jesus talked about how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And it's small, but it grows up, it becomes a tree. And then the birds, and I'll throw in the squirrels, build nests, right? And so that's another thing. We are supporting life. We're supporting life inside, right? Protecting the babies, right? That's another good one for our church, especially because we're like 50-some% children, and it's like the Lord has just blossomed life, and we can bring on and all the little nesters are coming in, and they're finding Jesus now instead of after life bangs them all up, right? There's so much goodness. What's that?
I said thank you because I never knew what any of that meant.
Oh, well, I just made it up, so. No. No, but I'm sure it goes much deeper. I mean, when you talk about the leaves being healing, like, you know, they make medicine out of leaves and all in other cultures, and that's, yeah.
The trees meant.
Right, I could probably call Kim and be like, Kim, go to town, talk about oil, right? Stuff that comes out of mint and lemon trees and orange trees, right? All that stuff, it's all healing and each one does its own thing. And when you smear, you know, right? I mean, it goes really deep. Like someone gave me some oil, I put it on my cheeks and it opens my sinuses and I can breathe again. You know what I mean? Oh, you got the wrong one. Yeah. Someone raised their hand over you? Okay. Yes.
You know, like you said, they want to stand next to you, be near you, in, especially as Dave said, in that time. Isn't it cool in December when that tree produces fruit? I know where one of those is. I'm going to go get it.
Yes.
Yes. Be that for somebody.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Very cool. I'm going to leave you with one simple, small Hebrews 12 scripture, Hebrews 12, 12. And the writer, the mystery writer, says, so take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out a straight path for your feet. And I bet you want to fill in the blank with, so I could be a better Christian. And the sentence actually says, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. It's that consistency message again. It's that, you know, take, you know, when the Lord is breathing into your life, take a new grip if you're tired. Strengthen your weaknesses. Grab a hold, you know, don't be tired. You will reap if you faint not, right? That message is not so that you can be better. It's there are weak people, right? Lame people who are going to pull from you. They'll not fall. They'll become strong because they're leaning on you. I don't want to be leaned on. Tough. right? Tough. The Lord needs to bring people into people's lives. Did the Lord bring people into your lives, or did you just find Jesus in a vacuum? Right? So it's time to pay it forward. All right, play Lean on Me. dun, 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 dun. All right, don't do that. It sounded better in my head. Can we go to the last slide? I believe it is time to pray. And if you, I'm looking around the room. If you don't know Jesus, I think most of you are all friends and family here. But if you don't know Jesus, just say, hey, Jesus, come and change my life. I accept what you've done. Your sacrifice on the cross was enough. Come and change my life. Turn it upside down. That's all you have to say. But for our prayer time, you know, just I've been listening to the wrong voice. Help me let go of despair. That's for some of you who locked on not to the peace voice. You listen to the one that leads you to despair, because some of us love going for the worst possible scenario so that when it, if it happens, okay, I was prepared for it, and if anything better happens, I'm pleasantly surprised. And it's the voice of despair. It's not the voice of the Father. And so come to the Father, right? Another prayer, by grace, I choose to believe you're the one who saves, delivers, and heals. That's some of you who are just like, I'm broken. I can't get out of my own way. It's like, you know what? I'm going to choose to believe that's who you are, and that's going to lead all of my actions and decisions from that point. It's not about me getting fixed. It's about you being the fixer, and I'm just going to go. Yes? Okay, some of you, that's you. Number three, bless others through me in spite of my struggle. In the middle of my struggle, because of my struggle, right? And then make me a feeder and not simply an eater. And that goes back to that Paul on the ship. Are you going to be the one that's like, hey, everybody, let's eat. It's going to be okay. Or are you going to be the other people? You know, are you the feeder? Or are you the ones who are like, I'm too scared. Feed me. Tell me something I need to hear. I shouldn't do that. That's mean. Eater, feeder. I'll open up the mic so that we can all pray together. I sincerely believe that some of us just have a piece to share in this one, okay? So if you're feeling like, I think I might, yes, you do. You do. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking. Thank you for directing. Thank you for making us trees, God, that you're the river. Thank you that you're so stable, consistent. You never dry out. You never go away. That, God, we can just plug into you, and regardless of the weather, Father, that environment, we can be in you. God, thank you that you want to bless people through our struggle. Thank you, God, that broken people led us to Christ. Thank you that people who had imperfect lives and struggles, God, reached out and showed us Christ, lived Christ. Lord, I just pray that you make us that. Make us that for our brothers and sisters. Make us not only about the lost, but also about feeding our brothers and sisters, even here, God, that we are just, we are Christ when we are broken. Let us be that. Let us find your grace, God. Let us stop hiding. Let us stop looking at our watch saying, well, when life gets better, then I'll be so much more productive. Let us just find you in the brokenness, I pray. God, we want to be feeders, not eaters. God, make us like Paul, the guy that's odd, stands up in the crowd and says something that makes no sense, and then everybody's able to just grasp onto that. Lord, if there's anything in our life that just causes us to say no to you repetitively, I pray that you'll expose it, bring it to the light, dig it out, release us, set us free. I'm so tired of the rebellious heart winning.
Lord, everyone in this room right here has struggles. And we just pray that in our struggles, that when we sit down and pray to you, that we just say that despite what we're going through, we love you anyway. We find hope in you anyway. We have confidence in you anyway. And that through our circumstances, that we're able to share with others that hope, that confidence, and that love, so that when they sit down and they pray, they can find peace in their circumstance and then share that with someone else.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Anyone else feeling it?
Heavenly Father, I ask that you just help us to get a new grip on you. Provide us the strength to keep fighting. Renew our hearts and our minds. God, you won't give us more than we can handle. And I ask that you help us to just trust in you and just give everything up to you. We can tap into you, and you can bless us. You can bless us in those struggles that we experience daily. And that we could be a blessing to others around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Father, for every Christian in here, your Holy Spirit resides within us. Your word gives us so many encouragements. What's impressing me right now is that the Holy Spirit would like all of us to remember that he's given each one of us a gift. And it's a gift that's to be shared for the edifying of this body and the community outside. Father, I pray anyone today who doesn't know what their gift is, that they seek counsel in your word. Ask the Holy Spirit, ask the pastor, and move in that gift to build one another up. Father, we ask all these things in your name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else?
Lord, I thank you for your glory and for aligning our hearts and spirits with you, and that you saved us and that we get to come here and just glorify you and love you. And we know that you are always in control of our lives, and we just give it all to you, and we love you so much, and just praise God that we can all come and worship you every Sunday and be together and have our families protected by you, and that you give us everything and provide for us so well, because you are in charge of everything. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we just love you again, and we're yours. We're the clay, you're the potter. You get to make whatever you want out of us, Jesus. And we do ask, as we're all here in this place too, that you will send that revival, God, that we could be a part of a group of churches, Father, that just so hungry to bring Jesus to the world around us, that, Lord, we bring you in every form, every fashion, healing, deliverance, miracles, salvation, the word of God, the voice of God. Make this place, Father, known as a place where God and people come together. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, thanks, guys. If anybody wants prayer, if you want to talk, come on up. And if anybody, if I haven't talked to you, and if you're interested in baptism for you or your children during Camp Sentinel, please come, and we won't do the talk right this second, but we'll talk about the talk. All right, cool. You guys are dismissed.